Hi, Filmatics. Welcome to the show. Today, we have a very special and amazing guest. We have Scott Christian Salva, and he is the president and owner of Blue Dream Animation Studios. And he is known for being the director and one of the co-writers, right, of Animal Crackers, which is on Netflix, which is the number one animated movie in 2020. You guys were watching Animal Crackers, and it's so hilariously funny. And Scott is a comic book creator, a movie maker, painter, dad, and a part-time hobbit living in Franklin, Tennessee. Let's welcome Scott to the show.
Thanks for having me on the show.
You're welcome. Oh my gosh, it's so exciting to have you on the show. And I wanted to ask you, so growing up, what was one of your favorite movies?
Growing up, I was a TV kid, so I grew up on Speed Racer and Bugs Bunny, and then of course Star Wars came out, so that was a big one. But I think if I gotta look back, like, my favorite movie of all time has got to be The Princess Bride.
That was one
of my favorites. But I was a teenager when that happened.
And why did you like that movie so much? Because of the story, how cute it was.
Yeah, I mean, it's got great quotes, great lines. I love happy endings. I love, I love wholesome stuff. I love, if I'm going to watch a movie, I want to watch something that makes me feel better about the world. And Princess Bride kind of ticks off on all of those little boxes.
Do you remember any of the quotes? Do you want to share a quote? put a little pressure on you.
Of course, everybody's favorite is, "Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die." That is definitely one of my favorites.
Prepare to die. Speaking of a friendly movie, prepare to die. But yeah, it's so cute and so charming. And did you watch it with, like, did you go to a theater or back then, like with your mom?
I honestly don't remember. Yeah, I mean, that was 40 years. I don't know. It was 40 years ago. It's hard to remember.
Tell anybody age, but and I want to ask. So, are you in Tennessee right now? Are we recording live with you from Tennessee?
Yeah, the Hobbit Hole in Franklin, Tennessee.
Oh yeah, I was looking at a place in Brentwood, Tennessee. Because we're in Los Angeles, but a lot of people are moving to Tennessee.
yeah, it's grown a lot in the last maybe 10 years. A lot of Californians are moving out here.
Yeah, and so you see The Princess Bride as a kid or a teenager, and you really loved it. Well, what about did you start looking at any of the Criterion films? Do you have a favorite Criterion films that maybe inspired you?
No, I am very much an introvert, and I never really intended to be a movie writer or director. It was not something I grew up thinking about or wishing to do. It was Spider-Man. Spider-Man was all I wanted to be, was artist on Spider-Man for my entire life. And when I turned, it was actually 20 years ago, when I turned 32, 33, I got the opportunity to be the artist on Spider-Man. And after that, it was just, everything else was, like, my bucket list was filled. And so we had kids, we wound up having twins, they just went off to college. But I started writing books for my kids, and Hollywood came knocking and started optioning my books. Pet Robots, My Grandparents Are Secret Agents, Cameron and His Dinosaurs, The Luckiest Boy. They just kept optioning and optioning and optioning. And so it became something where I was seeing them option it, would sit there for 3 years in development and then never get made. And so after a few years of that, I just decided, why don't I try writing a book myself? Try writing a movie myself, and that's where Animal Crackers and getting into movies kind of came. But as I talked to my friends, like Tony Bancroft, who directed Mulan, or Dean Laurie, who wrote Arrested Development, as I was talking and working with my fellow film people, they would laugh at how little I knew about the film industry and movie history and whatnot. And so yeah, I'm kind of an outsider when it to that.
So let's take so you grew up, where did you grow up?
I don't know if you guys can hear the grandfather clock is chiming in the background.
Hey, but, he's talking. He's like, hey, can you make a story about a grandfather clock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Clock wants in on this.
Yeah. He definitely does.
Yeah, I was born in Yonkers, New York, and I grew up in Miramar, Florida. And then when I was 12, we moved to California. And I went to art school at the Academy of Art in San Francisco. I met my wife, who was going to San Jose State. And, you know, the rest, they say, is history.
So you grew up, you moved from Florida to California, and you went to this art school in San Francisco, because going to art school, like a lot of the animation people that have come on the show, you know, the art school is so important. So you knew how did you know you wanted to draw, right? You started out as a...
Yeah, I was an illustration major. I graduated in 1991. There was no computers. It was not an animation school in any way. There was no animation. It was... fine art, illustration, graphic design, and photography. I think those were the choices at the school. So I was an illustration major, but my junior year there, I got an internship at Sega of America, working in video games on the Sega Genesis. And so that got me into animation, but that was pixel animation. You know, it was 16-bit animation. And that led to, when I graduated, I became a game designer at Atari Games. I did coin-op games, arcade games. And then we moved down to Los Angeles, and I got into animating like the Casper movies and Power Rangers and X-Files and Aliens vs. Predator and whatever else, you know. So, you know, that's what got me into animation, was just kind of a slow progress as 3D animation became something that was more viable. I got into that then.
Wow, your kids must have been like, my dad is working on Casper the Ghost and X-Files and all the big ones, Scott, like, my gosh. And then, so you said you started writing books, like with book publishers. Are you self-published or?
A little bit of both. I was working with a company called IDW. I did about 10 or 11 books through them. And then... Yeah, they were having some problems, so we started self-publishing after that. But I've probably written 15 books or so, and just all stuff that I thought would make my kids happy, you know, stuff about pirates and robots and aliens and dinosaurs and whatever, you know, whatever would make a 6-year-old boy happy.
And you have twins, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have two boys, yeah. And I asked you the question off thing, but you're Italian, right?
Yeah.
Sicilian.
Half Sicilian. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Cause you know, I revealed that I was born in Italy. My mom's there, but yeah, I think there's something about Italians that just are creative artists, right? There's just, it's in our blood.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. It's the Renaissance in us.
Yeah. Now, can I ask you a question? Because I have a special on the Filmatics podcast. I was sharing with you that I actually got to record out Formosa sound that's Oscar nominated for Dune, and we were going over the category of costume and you know, makeup and costumes. When you write, do you have fun designing the costumes of your characters?
Funny enough, even though I'm an artist, I didn't. I actually left that up to Carter Goodrich, who was our character designer. He designed Monsters, Inc. and Finding Nemo and Ratatouille and Brave and Despicable Me. And I remember meeting with him, and he's like, okay, so what did you have in mind for this character? And I go, I don't. And it's very funny because, I'm an artist. You would think I would have very specific images in my mind of each character, and I didn't. And so I just said, play, and he did. And some characters, he got it right in the very first drawing, and some we had to play around. He must have done 30, 40 drawings of, I think, Owen, John Krasinski's character. It just took us a while to kind of find his look. And it was really interesting, because you would think that would be something that I would be, you know, it's like a musician wrote a song, and how do you want it to sound? You know, I have no idea, but you're a musician. You should, you know, it feels like that. I should have known, but I didn't.
And the next time he's like, well, can you give me some hints? I did 30 drawings. Yeah. Doing my book covers, like, because I have a wizard series, and doing the book covers, Oh, I was like, this is the kind of dress she has. This is kind of the hair. I was just so like hands on, like, oh my God, I was such an art director. But it's fun.
That's amazing.
It's fun creating these people. Now, like, so your source of inspiration was your kids, right? So you just, because you wanted to tell them fun stories. Are you able to share a little bit of how Animal Crackers came about?
Yeah, we were actually in the backyard eating animal crackers, you know, those Barnum animal crackers from Nabisco. And I just, it was just, you know, like an afternoon snack. And I said, well, hey, what if when you eat a lion cookie, poof, you become a lion? And so, of course, they found a lion cookie, they ate it, and they were running around roaring and everything. And, okay, what if you eat a monkey cookie, you become a monkey? And so they ate that, they're playing that they're monkeys and giraffes and everything. And so that was kind of a fun little afternoon game that we came up with, and then I decided to turn it into a graphic novel. And about a year or so later, I decided to turn the graphic novel into a screenplay. And then maybe a couple years later, we were able to turn the screenplay into a movie. So it just kind of just like all of the movies, all of the books, they all came from just stories or games that we were playing with the boys.
Oh, wow. So your boys should be getting credit, right? So
it's funny because Brendan plays John Krasinski's character, Owen, at 12. And then Logan, his voice hadn't changed yet. And so he was supposed to be a boy in the crowd. But when the audio came over to the studio in Spain, they thought it was a girl. So he's a little girl with pigtails in the crowd. So they actually got to be in the movie, which is kind of cute.
That is like a really special, like to have your kids in a project that you've done. And I want to back up a little bit. So can you share with us how, like, you know, you got into your first major, like, you got your job at the studios. So how'd you get into, like, when you got the Spider-Man art drawn on your bucket list? Or was you just like, how did that come about?
That was a long,
it's a long story.
15 year road of going to comic conventions every year and getting rejected and going again and getting rejected and trying what I can to improve my art and just getting rejected every year. And probably 1999, I met Marv Wolfman, who created Blade and the Teen Titans, and Len Wein, who created Swamp Thing and Wolverine. And they offered to help me, you know, just out of the kindness of their hearts, they offered to help me get my dream. And so they kind of guided me, they art directed me, and they would submit my art to Marvel directly. So it's coming from veterans. And so that really helped. For 2 years, I got rejected again. And so in desperation, Marv said, why don't you try taking your day job, which was animation, and applying it to the comics? Because the painted stuff just wasn't cutting it. And so I did. I did a couple pages of like a 3D animated Spider-Man. And we sent it in. And a few months later, I got a call from Marvel saying, we love this. And I flew out to New York and I, you know, spent 10 months working on a series for Marvel. And so it was a dream come true. It was really, really cool. But it took, like I said, it took 15 years to make that happen. And it could have never happened, but, you know, it did. So it's all good.
It's amazing, like, the journeys on the show of people just making it. The one common theme was someone did help someone that's outside, that's a young artist, whether they're a writer, director, producer, kind of just help them up a little bit to get in that right door. And then, because there's a lot of people, you know, I do literary management along with producing and writing children's stories for my kids' podcast and Chendi Book Readings. And everyone's like, it's not easy to get in, and you get rejected. No. Like, you get rejected over and over again. It's like Babe Ruth. Like, I kind of tell people, like, I'm like Babe Ruth. I have so many strikeouts. I'm on third base. Like, it's time for my home runs, you know? But like,
yeah,
it's like, but the journey helps you, like, to, like, you had to, like, do the next step, like painting, which helped you to just keep going. And then eventually you're like, I'm going to write my own book. I'm going to create my own movie. And now you're owner of an animation studio. Can you share with us that dream? Like, having your own animation studio, what that's like.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. My friend Jaime Maestro and I, when we got the money for Animal Crackers, we, you know, said we got to build a studio, and he put it all together, and it's in Valencia, Spain. There's 120 people, and you know, they're just amazing. They're actually kind of dipping their toes into 2D animation now as well, and which is really, really, they're sending over some beautiful, beautiful stuff. But you know, we're hoping to finally, COVID and everything has kind of slowed stuff down, so we're hoping to finally get into production on the next couple films, and then I'd love to go back there again because it's been a few years and I miss seeing all my friends and working with them. So we're hoping.
Do you work remotely now, like with Zooms?
I did. Yeah, when we were doing Animal Crackers, I mean, I would fly out maybe once or twice a year because it's long. It's like 22 hours of travel to get to Valencia because Valencia is a small town. So you drive, and so is Franklin, Tennessee. So I would go from Nashville to Atlanta, Atlanta to Paris, Paris to Valencia, and inevitably one flight's canceled or delayed or something. And so it's not like when I have to go to LA and it's a 4-hour flight, you know, it's a direct flight. It's a bit of a thing. So I did most of the film from home, from the Hobbit Hole, and I would just work remotely.
The Hobbit Hole. I love it. I love it. I love it. Yes. So, and then also, can you share with like, what are you working on now, or what's in the horizon for you?
Well, we have two projects in production or in pre-production right now, which is one is the sequel to Animal Crackers, which I wasn't planning on doing, but it did so well that, you know, we heard from Netflix and they want to do a sequel. And so we're happy to do a sequel. So I'm working on the script for that. And then Pet Robots, I already have the script and the character designs and everything done. So we're just trying to get into production with that. So like, pre-production's done on that one, and we're just trying to get into production, which means we're just waiting for the financiers to finally send over the money so we can get into production.
Show me the money. Yeah,
it always is that, you know. It's like we always, and I'm not a money person. I mean, I went to art school. I don't know money people. I don't know how to talk their language. I'm a very direct person. This is what I need. This is what I'll do. And money people want to be wined and dined. They want to be romanced. They want to be, you know, it's a language of love I was never taught. So I just sit back and I just wait for it to happen.
And you know, speaking of that is like, because most artists, like when I just had a meeting with, like, you know, when you have your agent meetings and manager meetings, they talk a little bit different. Not like different, they're more like professional, and they're like, so what's your numbers like? And you know, and like it asks so many questions. How's the downloadings, how the rankings, and like how'd you get number one in countries? How are you top 1%? And then and you're like, I'm just an artist. Can we just do it? I write like Disney stuff. You like be like Trolls. You like Toy Story. You like Frozen. I got those. And it's a different thing. But because of that, I realized that like a lot of us aren't taught about money or that. So I have a podcast called Girl's Guide to Investing. So I have wealth investors, and I'm speaking to all these people that represent manage billionaires. They manage family offices. So, you know, that's why I try to give back, like, because a lot of us artists just aren't raised like that. So here you are, you know, you're doing Animal Crackers 2, which I'm so excited about. It's such a cute show. I'm almost kind of like, I wish I had done that story, but hey, can I ask you a question? Are you, how did that go with, you know, you said like, Animal Crackers by, the company, what is it? Are you
Netflix?
No, not Netflix.
Or Nabisco. Nabisco. Yeah, Nabisco.
Does it okay to? Are you allowed?
Animal Crackers is public domain, like hamburgers or pizza.
Okay, perfect.
That's why Nabisco is the only one who has Animal Crackers. Keebler has Animal Crackers. Costco has Animal Crackers. Anybody can make Animal Crackers, just like anybody can make pizza or hamburgers or chocolate chip cookies or anything like that. It is a very generic, uncopyrightable term.
Okay, so it has like Nabisco and Keebler said, hey, can you put our box in there? We'll give you a little extra.
They have. And so we are talking to them about doing that for the sequel, which is really cute.
When you're in podcast world or, you know, sponsors, who's going to sponsor you? So it's all about the sponsors. So that's beautiful. Is there any other stories that you want to share? Like your other favorites that you have written that you're being working on?
My favorite is the Dreamland Chronicles, and the Dreamland Chronicles is kind of like my Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I mean, it's got everything in there. It's a fantasy story about a boy who goes back to the land of his childhood dreams. And there's dragons and dwarves and centaurs and elves and fairies. And, you know, just it's got everything in it. It's the kitchen sink of all of fantasy stuff. And I just always loved that world. I always loved it. And it's my favorite story that I've ever written. And I wrote 8 books in the series. And I put it online as I was making it. And it had 34 million readers around the world. It's been translated into 7 different languages. And it's just something that I'd love to do as an animated series one day, because it's so big. And
8 books. I mean, that's definitely I think you passed Harry Potter with 8 books.
Yeah. I think I told you, it was like 7 or 8. Yeah, but it's a graphic novel, and I just love it. And you can see we're redoing the art, because I was doing it in a 3D style. I did Spider-Man but we're redoing it with newer art, and you could see the newer art on the dreamlandchronicles.com.
And so do you have a preference of 2D, 3Ds, or any preference for, you know, your films?
I don't have a preference. For me, it's whatever works best for the story, but I might do the Dreamland Chronicles in 2D, or I might do it in 3D. I think it'll just depend. And I think there's a bit of a hybrid that's kind of coming out where stuff is kind of a little bit in between, almost like a 2.5D. And so there's stuff we're experimenting with.
And I'm going to ask you a little question, because you're a director and you direct animal characters. Can you share anything like your directing shots or how you go about directing your animation, to just give a little education to our audience, because they love this part of the show?
Yeah, for me, we started because Tony Bancroft was my co-director. He directed Mulan. So we started off doing movie in the Disney style, which is to storyboard everything, do temporary voices, and kind of be able to sit back and look at the whole movie before the actors come in. And we did that. It wasn't really that great. I'll take the blame for that, as far as like, well, maybe some of the stuff that I wrote didn't translate visually. But then John Krasinski and Emily Blunt came in, and they'd never worked together before. And so they were just goofing around the whole time, like a couple of high schoolers. They were just laughing and making jokes and everything. And they were so authentic and so funny and so in love that I was just noticing that everything that they were doing was so much better than what I wrote. You know, it was just so much better. And I said, let's use what they're doing. And so what we did is we took all of the recordings, and I did a radio play of the entire movie. So no visuals.
Wow.
And we just did it with Ian McKellen and Danny DeVito and Sylvester Stallone and Raven Simone and everybody's voices. And I said, if it's funny just as a radio play, then it'll be funnier. It'll be better once we add visuals. And so we tried it, and I really liked it. And then so we did all of the directing, all of the visuals were based off of the acting from the actors rather than vice versa. And I really liked it. And I think the movie became a better movie for it, because the actors got to really kind of play a little bit more. And we let the dialogue really push the story. And I'm happy for it. That's how I'd like to make every movie from here on out.
Oh, wow. So you made it more like a radio, like a improv, like a theater group, like coming together and really getting into the characters and having some improv and some freedom and to create collaboratively. That's amazing. Amazing.
It was fun.
Oh, wow. So where can somebody look at your books? You were telling us your favorite book, The Chronicles of Dreamland, right?
Yeah, the Dreamland Chronicles. You can see I think the first four chapters is online at the dreamlandchronicles.com. You can always find them on Amazon as well, or even eBay. The book that I'm really happy about that you can find is The Art of Animal Crackers. Is a really good book that I put together. You can see all of the visuals that went into making Animal Crackers. And you can get that from Stuart Ng Books. And it's a beauty. It's a really nice book.
And then also I saw the secret agents of your grandfather's, right?
My grandparents
Grandparents,
are secret agents.
yeah, is that like some Italian in there?
Yes, there's let's see, the mom is called the Diva, and dad is called, oh God,
No Vincenzo or anything?
no, it was something. I'll remember it, but it's based off of my dad and my mom, so
Oh.
It's really cute.
And you made them super spies. I love that. I love that. That's
Yeah.
so cute. And so can you let share so the new Animal Crackers 2, we have to wait a little bit before it comes out on Netflix, right? But it's going to be coming
Yeah,
out.
yeah. Yeah, it'll probably be a couple years.
Oh, okay. So right now you're just going to be in development for your films. So that's
Yeah.
fantastic. Yeah. And where can somebody keep up with you? Are you on social media or where do you like our listeners to catch up with you?
Oh yeah. I am on TikTok. I am on YouTube. I am on Snapchat. I am on Instagram. I am on Facebook. I am on Twitter. I am on Pinterest. I am on LinkedIn. There's really nowhere that you can't find me. Reddit, but I am most active on probably YouTube and TikTok, and it's just under S Sava Art.
S Sava Art. Oh, and YouTube, like, do you just show your drawings and stuff, or how you, what do you, what's your
I've been making
specialty?
videos both on TikTok and YouTube, where I just talk about art. So sometimes I might answer people's questions like, how do you draw eyes, or how does watercolor work? And then other times I will just show my art and put it together in a little 1 minute video. It gives me a chance to kind of mix being a director and an artist.
Oh, that is so fabulous. So your work, are you still working like with Netflix? Is that your distribution studio that you work with? Like, are you look at working with other studios as well?
We're working with a few different studios, yeah, and like I said, a lot of it is just the financing side is what's holding everything up. So, you have everything, you got everything ready to go. It's just waiting for that.
Oh, okay. So you're just waiting for some finances. So if you have any investors listening, reach out to me and I'll like, hey, Sam, I got a check for you.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. Well, I just love your work. You're so, I was just so happy to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Christian Scott Salva. Oh my gosh. Scott Christian Salva. I'm dyslexic as you
I'm totally fine.
Scott Christian Salva, and check out if you haven't seen Animal Crackers, it's hilariously funny, and you're gonna enjoy it with your family. So great to have you on the show. Thank you for coming on, Scott.
Thank you for having me. It was really nice meeting you.
You're welcome, and thanks, Filmatics, for listening to the show. And check out in the summary, we'll have all the information on Scott. Thank you so much.